Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Peanut Tillman, and this is the NFL Player Second Acts Podcast. I got my guy, Roman, Deacon, Uncle, Harper. I got so many nicknames for you, bro. Like, we could talk about your age and everything all day. You might my co-host, you might like, you Robin or Batman?
I'm definitely,
I think you Batman, I'll be Robin.
I would prefer Darkwing, but you know, if you want me to be Robin, I can be New Age Robin, it's all good.
But yeah, man, you like my little sidekick. We go back and forth, you know.
I am a sidekick because, you know, I'm younger than you. So that's the gist of it all. If you're not younger than you, you can't be a sidekick in that Batman,
okay,
Robin,
okay,
situation. So I'll take Robin. It's,
yeah,
cool.
That's cool.
Let's just go ahead and thank the viewers,
okay,
and the listeners out there for always tuning in consistently. And I always appreciate them. Always remember, though, make sure you hit that like button. Give us a review. And anywhere else, you know, tell a friend to tell a friend. To, you know, listen to us, tune in on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. We always like to thank you guys first. Let's get that out the way. You got to pay some bills. Let's do that.
Got to pay the bills, but we got a special one. Yeah, we got a special DB podcast.
You know, DB.
All DB all day. We got Darius Butler, Antoine Bethea. We talk ball. We got their podcast, Man to Man.
Yep.
It's a good one. Y'all don't want to miss that one. It was a... That might have been one of the best ones of the day.
It's awesome because Twan, look, and, you know, we got drafted together. We worked out together. He's one of the more confident guys you'll ever meet, especially being from Howard. You never would have known that because you think he's a big school guy because of how confident he is, how great his career was.
Yeah.
But I just love, because I've listened to their podcast quite often. It's really entertaining.
That's what's up. So your first radio row. This is like my 10th or 12th radio row. Wow. I've been doing it. No, I'm lying. I'm exaggerating. It's probably like my 6th or 7th. I've done it a few times. Not on this side. Not okay. Interviewing players and talking to them. I was always the interviewee.
Yep.
So having done it one time, we're wrapping things up. How do you feel about it?
I feel like a lot of my questions were kind of fire, honestly. I thought my dress game was on point at times. My best experience is that as I've got to meet all these great players,
yeah,
Hall of Famers, current players, former players, it just always amazes me when they know my name. And I don't take
right?
that for granted.
Yeah.
I think it's the coolest experience. And it even shocks my wife. Like, we met, oh, my gosh, the coach at Tennessee State.
Eddie George.
And Eddie George is like, oh, I know Roman. No, you don't have to introduce me. And my wife's like, he knows you? I'm like, I don't
it
know,
It make
man.
You, it's like, man, I was that good for y'all to know who I was.
It's amazing, but it also shows you that these guys are football fans too. They watch it and enjoy it just as much as we all do. And it's a cool thing when you get that call or people that you're such a big fan of actually know you or that they're a big fan of you. So that's been my biggest takeaway.
I think my old wild moment, I was hanging out with John Randles. Peanut, what's up, man? How you doing? Good to see you. I was like, damn, you remember my name? You Hall of Fame, John?
Yeah.
My voice got a little high-pitched too. I was like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Like, you just got excited, though.
Also, yeah. Orlando Pace, the creator of the pancake, humongous human being.
Yeah.
I just want to throw that out there for those that don't know. Humongous human being.
See, I know him because we played together in Chicago. One year, one season.
Humongous person.
He's still big.
He's very, very large.
He's still big. Oh. Yeah.
But anyways, man, we had a great combo with Antoine and Darius, man. I'm looking forward to it. Everybody, let's take a listen. Let's toss it to the interview. How about that, Peanut?
Let's go. Check it out.
All right, we're here at Radio Row, and we are joined with two special guests. And these guys, these two gentlemen, it's a whole thing about the DBs. We bring in more. I think this is DB Day.
Yep. It is.
It's been a lot of DBs here, and it's nothing but love when they come here. Two guys that really balled out their whole career, Darius Butler, my man, and, of course, my favorite guy, Antoine Bethea, number 41.
Yeah.
Another number 41 out here. This is the guy that did it even more than me, for longer than me, in the same draft class. Sorry, Darius, I got to give major love over here.
Oh, you got to.
We trained together.
06, babe.
We trained together.
Yeah.
He was the first one that actually taught me when Young Jock was doing the Is Going Down, like, in the class. I'd never seen that before.
He taught you how to dance?
But no, I'd never seen this before.
We had some good times in the A.
Yeah, bro. It was going crazy. I just got there. I started working out. The Howard season was ended before Alabama season.
You know, that MEAC HBCU, it's a little different, you know.
I'm rocking the Howard season. I'm trying to get my daughter to go there. I went there a little college trip. So, man, I'm trying to. I hope she go there. So I've been telling Rome about
And so Twan, like, put me on game, man, early on in the process of training and working out, man. It was great times. And we followed each other's career, man.
For sure.
Drafted in the same year. A little bit later than me, but hold on. Okay. Let's get this in.
Okay.
So, are you guys going to be okay? Because last time you guys played against each other in a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 41, I'm just trying to hold you back.
I know.
Hey, that was a good time.
Right?
Great time.
It was a good time for you?
Yeah, great time.
Okay. I'm glad. I'm glad somebody won that championship.
There is no animosity or anything like that. That was years ago. I only get mad when you bring it up because you try to put me down. You try to bring me down with that negative energy.
And I felt like it was a slight shot at me as well.
Wait, what? Oh.
Because y'all faced up.
I knew he was going to do that too.
He's good for that.
Yeah.
He's definitely good for that.
Yeah.
Hey, look, man. We did talk about this, Twan. We talked about it. And you're right. It was a great day for me. And a couple years later in Super Bowl 44, I actually got my championship out of the way. And, yeah. Credit to you guys for putting up a great fight. Thank you.
So what are you one and one?
I'm 1-1.
1-1?
1-1.
0-2?
Ah.
Damn.
Yeah. It's all right.
Oh no.
So here we go. So here's the last question I got for Twan. And this is a little bit of a legacy thing. So Twan, you played how many years? 15?
14.
14. Yeah. Longer than any other safety in our draft class. I do know that. It was only 6 other players in our whole draft class, no matter position or player, that played longer than you. Can you name me those 6, or at least try? You can tag your partner if you need a little help, too.
Six.
Phone a friend.
It was one defensive back, for a hint. It was one DB.
Who's the first pick in that draft?
Mario Williams. Okay. Reggie Bush second.
Okay. Yeah. One DB.
Vince Young was third, I believe.
Yeah.
One DB.
Jonathan Joseph,
South Carolina,
played at Houston for an extremely long time, finished his career up. Love this dude. He still lives in South Carolina now.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Closer to you, where you actually
He's actually about to move.
Right to be there.
Yeah.
Okay. You know anybody else?
I do not.
Steven Gostkowski, the kicker.
Wait,
say that last name again.
Gostkowski.
Oh, okay. I wanted you to say it. I just wanted you to say it.
I got you.
Thank you, Darius. Thank you, dog. Thank you. We got Damata Pico, he was the D tackle.
Okay.
Okay.
He was a big, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And Andrew Whitworth, of course.
Okay.
Out of LSU.
Yep.
And Sam Cook, the punter.
Yeah.
I mean, he was picked 4 picks ahead of you.
Solid class. A solid class.
There it is.
I don't know. I think the 03 class might have had some more big names, but maybe I'm biased because I'm an 03 guy.
Yeah.
So I'm just.
You guys wore bigger shoulder pads too back then, too.
No. We brought the ruckus. We came with it. So check it. No, he look older. I'm older, but he looks older.
Man, that used to trip me out. The first time I seen this guy.
Please tell this story.
Man, we was in Duluth, Georgia. We was training.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, you know, how we. I think I probably got there.
You like 2 or 3 weeks ahead
two
of me.
2 or 3 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
And Roman walks in. Looking how he's looking right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'm 20. I'm 21. I'm like, my guy gotta be at least. First of all, I didn't know the story. I'm like, okay, he might got a phenomenal story, or yeah. You know, he went.
I might have went on a mission.
Went on a mission. He came back.
Back.
Then he's like, nah, man. You know, it's just jeans.
Had it forever, dog.
How old?
Been great, dog. It's just what it is.
He been a gray, what, eighth grade?
Yeah, it came in junior high. I got my first gray hair. My barber was like, hey, man, I got this gray hair up here. What you want to do with it? I was like, I heard if you cut it, you get 3 more. So just leave it. And it just.
That's crazy.
It's been coming ever since. So it's part of it.
So the first time I met him, same exact thing. We met at OPO back. Or is it OPO?
PAO.
PAO, excuse me. We met at this conference, Christian conference.
Yeah.
We go, we do our thing, but he's in my group. I thought he was like an OG vet. I was, you know, I'm getting ready to call him Unc and everything. For though, Unc is uncle, short for uncle. So I'm, you know, I'm calling. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm only in my second year. And I'm like, second year? What in the world? Good man, that dude has been through some stress. You've been smoking some cigarettes because life ain't supposed to be that hard for you to be that great this young. But we developed a relationship, you know. We finally became teammates when we were in Carolina 2015. Amazing season, Super Bowl 50. We lost, sorry. You two became teammates, right? 3 years, 2011 to 2013?
Yep.
And because I assume you guys must have formed one hell of a friendship, a bond, right?
12.
Okay.
Yep, 2012.
2012, yeah. Okay, sorry. You guys formed some type of a friendship, some form of a bond, right? Yep. For you guys to have your man-to-man podcast. Yep. Can you tell us a little bit more about like how that kind of friendship was molded and how you built that to get this podcast?
Well, sure. I came in, obviously, you know, I knew AB from a distance. I watched him from a distance. He's well-respected around the league. And at that time, it was my third team in the league. So second-round pick in New England, get cut after my second year, spend a year in Carolina. And then this was kind of like, I sat down with Grigson, the GM, and he was kind of like, hey, this is going to be your last shot, you know, pretty much. That's just the reality of it. If you don't come in here and play well, it's like, all right, cool. So I get in there. I'm like, all right, it's going to be my way to highway. I got to go all in. And AB was kind of, we called him the general in the meet room, you know, just always calm, always ahead of the game as far as running the meeting room. You know how important meeting rooms are as young players. And just seeing that, just respecting that and wanting to learn from that. Just kind of gravitated towards him. And then once he moved on in free agency, I kind of had to assume that role. And then we obviously stayed in contact and then started the podcast. We started in the middle of the pandemic, I think July 2020.
Yeah.
And we just started rocking.
I think a lot of people might have started podcasts during the pandemic.
So why? Why in the middle of the pandemic?
Yeah. Man, it was funny because I actually, I hit D-Butt up. And it was something on my mind, you know, just thinking about it. And obviously, you know, D-Buck was one of the guys that I thought about, just, you know, his expertise, the way he's able to talk about the X's and O's and just the respect that I have for him as a player and as a friend. So when I did call him, I'm like, look, man, I've been thinking about it, you know, and we talked about it, Peanut, like being able to do a podcast by yourself.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It is.
You know, so to be able to have somebody that you respect and, you know, still have the same, you know, ideas as far as the game. You know, we just kicked it off.
Do you have a segment that you guys prefer to do the most on your guys' show? I've seen you guys do your picks on the weeks. And you say, like, you're not always right, but you're very confident.
Very,
very confident.
You have to be.
Confident sales.
You are very confident. You have to be.
I think throughout our time, man, we've had different segments, right? This year we did It Is What It Is. Mm-hmm. We had a segment with Dead Ass Wrong.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We've been that a few times. But I would say those two.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, pretty much the whole league and everything that's happening. Not only just football, but things that's happening in real life as well. But honestly, my favorite segments are, you know, when we disagree. You know what I mean? Because we agree on a lot of things. You know, we've seen the game a lot of similar ways. But when we actually disagree on something, like, it ain't nothing like a good old locker room argument.
Yeah. What was the biggest argument you guys probably disagreed on?
I'm going to say it. So we talked about it as far as, is it tougher in the league being a starter or backup?
Is this in the NFL or like
the NFL? Yeah, so he, you know, long time starter. I rotated in, was a nickel guy. And I'm like, look, it's much tougher. Like, if you're starting, you get that first hit, maybe you give up a catch, get a tackle. Like, you playing ball now. You in your rhythm, you get the rhythm, you get a tempo. As a sub player, I play sub a lot. Sub player, you playing the Patriots. They made it be the game plan to keep you off the field, maybe 12 and 13 personnel the first 14 out of 16 plays. And then when the game is on 2 minutes before halftime, I got to be full go, communicate, making the calls. That's tough. And, you know, AB's argument is more so like, look, it's that expectation every week. Play. So you that was a good debate, a good back and forth.
You expected to play at a high level each and every week. And as you guys know, you starters in the league, every year they drafting somebody to get you out of that starting role.
Bigger, faster, stronger, you younger.
Know? Then if you are starting, you know, your pay is up. So they trying to find another reason to get you out of the building. So, again, obviously it's tough to play in the league. You know, it was a great debate. You know, I stood on my stance. He stood on his.
And one more point on that. and we all players up here.
Right.
So, you know, coming into the year, you know, you drafted somewhere, you making a certain amount of money. You know you're the guy that year, at least. Or you're the guy for this stretch unless an injury or you just have a terrible four-game stretch or something like that, right? As a backup or as a sub player, when you are in there, it's a different mindset as far as when you're that guy. Like, I know, hey, I'm waiting for this formation, this down to this situation, and I'm jumping this route. Like, I'm going. Like, that's just, I'm going, boom. Every series you may have that thought. Right. As a backup, you may be, I don't want to mess up. Like, this is my shot. And now that can hold you back, obviously, but that's what's going through a lot of the players' minds when you are in that role. And I was in that role. That's why I struggled really my second year in New England. Because New England, you can get bitched. You have a bad Thursday practice. Right. You might have your shoulder pads out of your locker.
We had a guy not playing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's crazy, man, just that the psychology behind it as well, so it can kind of limit your athleticism. So we got to a good that was definitely a good one.
I think what Darius brings up is a great point.
Because, it is.
You know, if I'm a backup guy and the coach says be inside leverage, and anytime I'm not inside leverage, what are you doing? Like, you don't get the lead way of like, you know, coach had this feel. I was like, nah.
But you gotta be a robot.
It's rule guys and it's guideline guys.
Yeah.
It's rule guys, which are mostly backups. Like, you gotta do by the rule, by the book. Then we got other guys that's kind of by the guidelines. Yeah. You know?
And I get that too. And another thing, as far as a backup and a starter, you know, everybody's critiquing, everybody's watching film. On the defensive side, OC, quarterbacks, receivers, they're looking at you, right? So they can tell, okay, Roman, he's not good here. Peanut, he's not great here.
Yeah.
This is what he does great, right? As far as the backup you throw in, it's film on you, but really not that much where opposing player can really critique you. So, again, as a starter, you got to be on your P's and Q's every game, every down, every snap.
I think I side more with you because I started.
That's the majority of my Darius, though.
But I like where you came from. Yeah, no, I feel it. I like where you came from. Like, I hear it. I understand it. I don't agree with it. I hear it, though.
Fair.
I don't agree. I guess I don't agree with it because having been a starter, I thought like you. There's always a guy bigger, faster, younger, stronger. He's trying to take food off my table. Yeah. He's trying to take food or money out of my pocket. So I got to be on all the time. I'm not afforded or I can't make this mistake because they going to put you in there and then boom. Wally Pipp.
I didn't see a picture.
So for those,
everybody uses.
Hey, for the Wally Pipp, he got sick.
Can we change that to Tom Brady?
He didn't play, and then he was a Yankee. Great. I don't know what Yankee player it was. He Babe came Ruth. And he took his spot, and he never gave it up. And that's. Hey, Wally Pipp, that's the story. Google it if you don't believe me.
Hey, it's a true story.
It's a true story. So that's where I am. So look, I'm a defensive guy. I talk to everyone about Super Bowl. We're, what, 2 days, 2 hours, and 31 minutes from the game right now. The game is solely sold on offense. The commercials, the tickets, pitchers, everything is offense, right? Everyone wants to see points on the board. I hate high-scoring games. Can't stand it. I hate bad. It's just not good for me. Yeah. It's good for the sport.
I like high scoring games.
Why? It's bad defense, though. It's bad defense, though. Do you want to see a high scoring or low scoring game?
Huh?
Why?
First of all, it's points. You know, it's a lot of, you know, regardless, depending on which state you're in, if you can bet on it, you know, parlays, touchdown scores, all that stuff. But I mean, I like to see, as a defensive player, obviously you want to see plays, you want to see picks, you want to see sacks as well. Pick sixes, those points. I love points. It's just the entertainment factor. I also love seeing a well-played defensive game as well. And I feel like today's game, you can play great defense and it still be a 31-28 game. When we were playing, that was you felt like you played terrible on defense. Today, you hold Mahomes or Hurts or one of these offenses to 28, like, you looking at your offense like, hey, y'all got to put up 30.
That's if you give up 21 points, you got to win that game.
That is crazy. I remember when we was
21 points, you got to win that game.
Yeah. I remember when we was in the meet room, it was 17 for us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we hold the team 17. We should be able to win the game. Yeah. It was 17 points.
Yeah,
so that's where we were. I don't like I'm with you.
I'm like 14 to 17. Yeah. That's how we were. Anything past that, it's a failure.
I get it, man.
Like, that was you guys, Ron Rivera, quarterback Lovie struggles Smith. That was the motto. Low scoring games, I like it.
Yeah.
It also it shows how smart that your D coordinator is. Like, mm-hmm. it shows that they really planned they have a really good game plan for this team. So I'm curious to see what Philadelphia does, what they have in store for Patrick Mahomes. Vice versa, I want to see what Kansas City has in store for Philadelphia. What are they going to do to get Hurts? What are they going to do from home? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see. It's not just about the players, but what are your coaches doing to put those players in that situation?
I think on the defensive side, I think Kansas City have a tougher job than Philadelphia Eagles does.
Yeah.
Because you look at their offense, you look at Jalen Hurts, you look at Miles Sanders, how he's been playing in the postseason. You look at, you know, Smith, you look at A.J. Brown. They have weapons all across the board for Philly, right? Philly, they can run the ball, they can pass the ball. Now you got RPOs and you don't know what Jalen Hurts is going to do. So in that aspect, I feel like Kansas City, you got to figure out, okay, what are we going to try to limit, right? Yep. Flip side, for Philly, you got that defensive line. You got seven guys in the rotation, man. They can go get Patrick Mahomes. And my one and only thing that I'm going to do is double Kelsey and make them beat me left-handed.
Somebody else got to beat me.
Somebody else.
And you got two great corners. Bradbury and Big Play Slay have balled this year.
Yes. Yeah.
So you allow those guys to go one-on-one on the outside. We say, all right, if you beat them, then you deserve it. Yeah. And we're going to put all the attention. I mean, I like the game plan. It's amazing how his defensive guys immediately, all right, what are we going to give up? What are we going to take away?
You can't sleep on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson either. I feel like that was one of their big – Howie Roseman done an incredible job putting this roster together as far as drafting. You look at everybody on offense, most of those guys have been drafted to that team. But defensively bringing in Bradbury, trading for Slay, and then Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who wanted to get paid in New Orleans, you know, was a great slot defender there, moved back to safety, and now done a lot for that secondary, for that defense. So when you got – on both sides, I think the Eagles had an edge in the trenches, and that's really where I think these games going to come down to. The Super Bowl that Mahomes did lose, he was, you know, running for his life. Yeah. Obviously, they got better on that O-line, but I think on the outside with those tackles, Brown and I believe it's Wiley, I don't like how they match up with Reddick and Sweat and Graham and all those guys. That just Robert Quinn, who's going to be fresh as well. So it's going to be tough, but he is still Patrick Mahomes, and he's one of the best we've seen even this early on.
So predictions right now, what are we talking? Give me a score. Give me a team.
Twan's really good at this. He's very confident at it.
Yeah, and he said it's going to look good.
At least you know.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going Philly.
Philly.
Philly with the win.
Philly with the dub.
I'm going 28-21.
Okay. Confident? Final answer?
Final answer. Confident. Snap that.
And he said it so Philly 28-21. Hardcore.
Okay.
Touchdown.
I'm 31-24, Philly.
31-24.
So I like him by a touchdown, too, which is that's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. But
what you got?
The Eagles have been the best team in the league all year long. I'm going with the best team in the biggest game. That's just what it is. The way Kansas City wins the game is if, you know, we all know it. At the end of the day, as the young people like to say, Patrick Mahomes is going to say, I am him. Yeah. If he goes out there and does that, then when the best player goes out there and wins you a game, yeah, sometimes he just beats you. Yeah. And that's what it's going to take for Kansas City to win this game. And it's very possible that that could happen. I like the best team in football.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Eagles.
Give me a score. What you got?
A score?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's going to be a lot more. A lot bigger than what we think. I think maybe 42-28.
Oh, my Lord. Why would you say that?
Because I just think it's going to, like, the game is going to be big. It's going to, like, it's going to be a lot of points. What you want, 42-35? I mean, I don't care. But it's going to be, I think they're going to score.
They
can
lean on you.
Because you can stop Patrick Mahomes for two quarters, and, dude, I'm telling you, and you blink an eye,
yep,
and it's on. And then Kelsey's hot. Everybody celebrating, and now you're on, yeah, your heels as a defense. And you know how hard it is when you're in two-minute mode in the third quarter.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's, yeah, really tough playing defense in the two-minute offense. When you're placing two-minute offense in that third quarter, it's just really tough to stop. That's what I think. This game kind of gets out of ahead, and it's going to play with a much faster pace than what we anticipate.
I bet you you're wrong.
All right.
I bet you you're wrong. I bet you 100 push-ups you're wrong. I'm not going to put money on it. But I bet you 100 push-ups you're wrong. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Like, how low?
I'm going to say 21.
21 to what?
Total?
21 points. No one's getting over 21 points. And I'm saying that with confidence. It's going to be some great defense.
So who wins and what's the score?
Okay. Philadelphia wins. I'm going to say 21. 21-14. Low-scoring game. Calling it right there.
All right.
Confidence.
It's scary, man.
100 push-ups.
Nobody's giving – Patrick Mahomes and Andy.
It's crazy.
That is scary.
Wow, that is
very scary. That means we probably are going to be wrong.
No.
All right. Each one of you guys, I love to ask this question. All right. Anytime we get a guy on, what was your first welcome to the NFL moment?
Mm.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, like, see, for me, mine was in training camp.
Yeah.
My man Mike McKenzie, Money Mike, he was like, not going to practice first day of training camp. All right, cool. But Sean Payton was like, all right, this is a new thing where you at least got to wear the dress. So he had to put a helmet on while he rode the bike. Mike always wore shades.
Yeah.
So literally he comes out there without a helmet on. They're like, Mike, you got to put your helmet on. So he goes in with the shades on. And I'm thinking he's going to take the shades off because he put on a helmet, right? Mm-hmm. No. He comes right back out. Shades on underneath the helmet and riding the bike for like 20 minutes. For me, I was like, oh, this is what the league is about. This is the league.
Yeah.
This dude's riding a bike with shades on. Like, how cool is that?
So I'll give you my welcome to the league, and I'll give you a story when I got my bell rung. The welcome to the league was my rookie year, training camp.
Yeah.
The real two-a-days.
Real two-a-days. For those that don't know, two-a-days was like hardcore, wasn't a – you practice one day, you take your pads off. The real two-a-days was you practice twice a day.
Full pads.
Yes. Hitting, no, running. When you're a rookie, you're doing
every so that's
first
what
team,
it was.
Scout team, special team.
So that's what it was for me. It was kickoff.
Running like Seabiscuit.
Kickoff return, punt return, first team, second team, scout team. And this was probably the first time ever playing football I questioned if I could do this.
Yeah.
I had that same question.
And I was on the sideline, and I remember it was Marlon Jackson and Kelvin Hayden. And I'm sitting on I'm on a knee, and I'm just quiet. I'm thinking. And I was like, bro, like, are y'all hurting right now? Y'all tired? And they both just started laughing. They were like, yo, you're going to be good. Yo, we was feeling the same way last year.
Yeah.
And it kind of helped me. I'm like, okay, they went through it. So it's not just, it's just not me personally. You know, it's just one of those things you have to go through. But that was kind of the, my welcome, like, all right, man, this is a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little different, man. And the one time I got my bell rung, I still to this day don't know who that player was. But we were playing.
That's a real
definition. So, you know, yeah, it was old football.
We were playing the San Diego Chargers in Indy. Darren Sproles, he catches a screen pass. Haul and tail down the sideline. And, you know, talk about angles. So I'm taking an angle.
Good pursuit angle.
I'm getting it. And a receiver ran a go route. So he peeled back.
Go route's just a straight running up the field.
He peeled back. And when he hit me, like instantly, like I just started seeing stars. And the first, when I opened my eyes, I seen my feet. So I was, he hit me so hard. But, you know, it was just natural reaction to like just to get up real quick.
Yeah.
He scored. I run to the sideline, take my helmet off. One of my teammates was like, bruh, you bleeding. Like, I had, she hit me so hard, it was blood coming out my ear. Like,
damn,
you got rocked. I mean, mine, really, I got drafted to the Patriots. So, I remember when we get there, it's rookie mini camp and stuff. We're going through, you know, doing one-on-ones with these guys. And DB coach in my ear after every, hey, man, when Brady and Moss get here, it's going to be different. Like, they ain't going to cut it. I'm like, I'm going to be all right. So, them boys get there, Brady, Moss, Welker, and I just, like, everything, like, I felt like my head was just spinning. Like, I felt like I wasn't even playing football anymore.
Yeah.
You talked about the leverage. Like, I knew you had to be in certain level. All right, we're going to be outside, inside leverage at the line of scrimmage. Once we get in the intermediate part of the field, now I want you outside leverage in the D route. Because you got, I'm like, yo, like, I'm just trying to cover dudes. So that mentally was my kind of welcome to the NFL. And then in the game, my first game, Monday Night Football, playing against the Bills. And this is when they had T.O. just got there. Lee Evans, Roscoe Parrish was still there. I think Fred Jackson
toting that rock.
Yeah,
ooh,
so toting that rock. Great offense. And it comes down as one of those plays, last play of the game, one of those plays where you throw it to a guy and pitch it back. And I'm out there running around with like chicken with my head cut off. So throw it to the first tight end. Boy, I hit him, bing, bounce off him. He pitched it back to T.O. Boom, he stiff armed me. He get it. I missed four tackles on one play. So in New England, you win or lose. That Monday or that Tuesday, in that case, this is a Monday night game, you got low lights.
Yeah.
You know, so you can win by three touchdowns, like you stressing these low lights. So I'm thinking, I'm going to be good, though. This is the last play of the game. He ain't going to get to this one. Last thing before the meeting, Belichick. Guys, I've been coaching for 35 plus years in this league. I've seen pretty much everything. I've never seen a guy miss four tackles or one play. I'm like, coach, I'm a hustler, man. So that was my welcome to the league moment.
I think, didn't you miss like three or four tackles in one play?
No.
You know what play I'm talking about. Y'all know the famous, you know, when New Orleans is playing Seattle. And then you run through, you know, beast mode, you run through the hole. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Break one tackle, break another tackle, break another tackle.
Yeah.
If you look closely, you see Rome early.
In the background.
In early.
Did you miss one?
I really didn't even miss him. It was like this. Like, I was setting the edge.
That sounded like a loaf to me.
I was setting the edge. He goes inside. So I'm, you know, posting up. Yep. Boom. He goes inside. So then I like, okay, looking. Then like, D-line missing. D-line missing. I'm like, ugh. Then I start running. Linebacker
speed. Change of speed. Change of speed.
Yeah.
Okay. Corner, get off me. I'm like, oh, Lord. So now I'm like really running. Safety dive miss. He stiff warming up. I'm like, oh,
you panic.
And I look up. It's just me, three blockers, and Marshawn. And that's when he hit the whole mile on the way on there. And I was like, what happened?
Like, it's like my favorite play all time. I look at
I have
you
no idea
every time.
What happened.
It is hilarious. I look at that play and it,
me.
Huh?
You got me one time, matter of fact, on Hester. D-Hester should have been in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yes.
He broke a punt return record, I believe. I was on Carolina this year. I think it was you and Corey Graham, maybe.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
And I, this is my first and last rep as a gunner in the NFL.
Which is the worst position to play.
The worst position.
DBs aren't used to getting double teamed. We're not trench players like that.
At all. And I have been sabotaging special teams drills for 3 years up until that point. I finally told me the injuries and happened. Hey, Depot, we need you. Y'all need to be this game now with this unit, because y'all took the absolute utmost pride in that punt return unit. Yeah. So that was definitely not that was y'all. I appreciate you ending my Gunner career, though. But that was some smoke I was not trying to deal with.
Oh, man, that's what's up. Yeah. But look, we can't thank y'all enough, man, for coming on our podcast from, you know, man to man. Yes. We thank y'all. Wishing nothing but success for y'all on y'all pod.
Yeah, man,
and,
no doubt.
I need a hoodie.
Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
Please, I want to get what's one of those hoodies. And shout out, you know, Howard represents
H-U?
You know, HU. Hopefully my daughter goes
there. How about the HU swim meet?
Oh,
did you ever go to one?
I did not. The swim meets were not like that when I was
at Howard University. Okay. I need to go to one. I'm not even a great swimmer.
But now that I'm seeing, I got to get back on campus.
Okay. Because I saw it. I'm like, bro, I need that in my life.
A lot of energy in the swim meet.
It's a lot of energy in that swim meet. Okay. Glad we appreciate that,
of
dog.
Course, of thank, course,
thank, man,
of course.
Appreciate y'all coming through.
You yes, too, sir.
Man. Seeing you, same man. Here, bro. Always, man.
Always.
So I didn't know that Darius Butler was the Gunner that myself and Corey Graham that we kind of murdered on the sideline. Like I had when he brought that up, and I was like, oh man, I've done that to a lot of guys. Like I don't really remember. I'm sorry I got you fired off of that special team as a gunner. Like I don't.
No, you did him a favor. Nobody wants to be a gunner in the NFL. I'm telling you, it is the absolute worst position to play.
Explain to him what the gunner is.
A gunner is the outside guy on a punt team. So if I'm punting the ball, it's fourth down, we didn't get the ball, we're going to punt it. And these are the guys on the outside that are on the line of scrimmage that get to release as soon as the ball is snapped. Because it's only three guys that get to release as soon as the ball is snapped. You got the up back or the person protector and your two edge guys. They get to release as soon as the ball is snapped. And usually, it's two-on-one. They have two defenders blocking one guy, and he can't just run out of bounds.
No.
Unless he gets thrown out of bounds.
He's going to get – he'll get held. He falls down,
they allow them to hold. They allow the defense to hold.
It's pretty rough, bad. It's a rough play. It's a physical rough play, and you just got to have your big boy pads on and pants, and you just got to just – you know
you
what?
You got to fight.
You got to fight.
You got to fight. You got to slap. You get pulled. You got to do other techniques. You got to
– yeah.
Eye gouge, whatever it takes, you're going to have to do it when you're playing.
But I liked it. I liked their podcast. I liked the views.
You know what I told also from them, though, is that I can tell they both care about each other. You can tell.
Sure.
Like, not everybody that works together likes each other.
Yeah.
Not everybody that does podcasts together get along. And Darius was like, man, the best times I have is when we don't agree on something. Mm-hmm. And so that's really cool when you know you care that much. You're like, when you disagree, it's almost like the most fun thing because we don't disagree that much.
I'm going to start disagreeing with you more, just off principle.
Well, it's really hard to disagree with me, Peanut, because I'm always right. So that's just one of those things. It's really hard to go against the truth.
I'm not even going to argue with that, because that's another conversation for off camera.
Well, good. I'm just going to end the show right now. So thank you for all those listeners for tuning in constantly. Make sure you go out there, hit that like button, give us a review, a rating, anywhere you listen to your podcast, whether it's that's Drew Brees, guys.
Oh, my God. Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
What's going on?
All right. Anywhere you get podcasts.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Drew. That's my guy.
Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio.
What's up, baby?
Shirt, man. What's going on?
Take a tune.
This is the type of stuff we do. We get people like Drew Brees just to pop in on us.
Good seeing you.
Good seeing you.
Oh, my God. That was awesome. What a real treat it was. That was a real treat. Can you get back in the picture?
I'm not even in the picture anymore. My bad.
Yeah. That's, Ladies and gentlemen, future Hall of Famer Drew Brees, one of your teammates, the guy I worked out with in San Diego when I used to live there, amazing individual.
Hey, man, you know what? That is the power of live TV / radio. This is like what it is right now. I don't know. We're just on a whim. And, like, man, when you got positive vibes, positive things happen to you.
Yes, it was.
All right, I guess we'll wrap the show again for the second time. Thank you to all the listeners out there and all of our viewers now, too, as well. You got to see a treat today. And thank you, man. Go out there, give us a rating, a review, hit that button, like, give us a follow, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, anywhere you pick up or listen to your podcast at. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.